Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is BFCINSTITUTE.com.
To call it and forward it to an automatic voice message system, 616.
Simply click the red sticker for details.
And welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us again on this November 20th, 2018, a couple of days before Thanksgiving. Grateful again for each of you. Talk Straight is a podcast radio show that is designed to open up dialogue across urban America. Building Families and Communities Institute proudly sponsors it. And we strive to provide solutions, dialogue, conversation that will lead to proactive change for particularly young people across urban America who are at threat to incarceration, school dropout, violence, yes, even untimely death. We're grateful for you to join us, as you heard in the commercial, www.bfcinstitute.com. That's real. Go there and see what we're about. More importantly, we need you to make a contribution tonight, tomorrow, the next day. We have much to be thankful for. We're grateful that we have the vision and the opportunity to speak on this level in the interest of improving the quality of life for all of us. All right? Now, tonight, the number is 657-383-0944. 657-383-0944. If you desire to come into the studio with us and have a live participation with us on the air for the next hour and a half or so, give us a call at that number. Again, it's 657-383-0944. And of course, if you're following us on a live stream with Facebook, feel free to either call that number or post your question or comment here. We'll be happy to respond accordingly. If there's a question you'd like to raise for the panel, we'll be happy to share that and include that as a part of our conversation. I'm looking forward to having Pastor Ricky Waller to join us here and our regular callers, but particularly one caller out of St. Louis and another, I'm trying to reach him from Saginaw, Michigan. I know he's been moving quite a bit in today, and he mentioned that he would be happy to be a part of it. But they opened up some really strong questions on this past Thursday. And I promise that we will follow up on that, okay, because this is very important. And the question that they posed was relative to how should we use certain resources when it comes to taking care of youth. what should we do, and how is it that we should focus our attention on the so-called bad or the hoodlums, on those who have scholastic aptitude to demonstrate promise. Well, before we end
your
the sermon,
call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Like,
6-1-6-5-9-1-8-4.
Nonetheless, what I'm going to do is let me go ahead and get this monologue together, and then we will have you all to join us from there. Be happy to have your input. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. And again, feel free to reach us. Hey, Ms. Pittman, to reach us on Facebook here. Shoot us a question or comment. All right, let me get through this monologue because that's the meat of the conversation. The question was asked, and the point was raised that these are hoodlums. And then asked the question, someone did, should we be wasting our money or putting money on dealing with these hoodlums or spending our time trying to encourage and build up those young people that are doing well academically and socially and showing promise in society? Well, I got an answer for you. And that brings us to our topic tonight. How should we focus our attention? Should it be on the good or the bad youth? Now, quite often people are looking for efforts to support young people, right? And they face that dilemma trying to decide, well, what should we do? Who should we give the money or resources or time to, right? Well, I'll tell you that at the end of the day, you put nothing in, you get nothing out. Now, I realize that there's a core responsibility that comes there. So this is why we're going to have this topic tonight, and let me just get right into it. Luke, the 15th chapter, the 29th through the 32nd verses reads, "And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Boom! As this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him a fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Lastly, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, lost and is found." Powerful parable that is applicable to our discussion. When you feel like you have to choose between either one of your children, that's a terrible situation to be in. Even if your child is a terror in the neighborhood, I submit to you that culturally there is a need for unity within particularly the African-American community. Whenever we have to make such a declaration or statement or even question, like this young man right here to his father, I ain't done nothing wrong, but you praise this guy who go out and throw everything away and mess up. Everybody's always giving him attention. Okay? But what it comes down to is a question of intelligence and ability. Now, I want to make a disclaimer. I'm not using profanity. This is real. This is based on research. And a brother by the name of Dr. Robert L. Williams wrote about this some time ago, in 1972 to be exact. He wrote, he developed a model, an educational model, assessment model, which he called the bitch test. Yes, I said the bitch, B-I-T-C-H test. Get your mind out the gutter, y'all. He's talking about the black intelligence test of cultural homogeneity. This bitch test, Fitch 100, as it was called, is an intelligence assessment that Dr. Robert L. Williams created, as I said earlier, in 1972. Its sole purpose was to demonstrate how different the social experience of blacks were as related to their white counterparts in terms of their display or representation of intelligence. Okay? It was orientated toward the use of language, certain attitudes towards certain events or things, and lifestyles of African Americans or blacks. The test consisted of multiple choice questionnaire in which the examiner was asked, or examinee, the person being asked the question, they were asked to identify the meaning of 100 words as their use in the black experience or the ghetto. I guess you know that Dr. Williams used two sample groups, one out of St. Louis, where he had 100 whites and 100 blacks, one out of Mississippi, where he had 100 whites, 100 blacks, okay? And what happened was is that when they asked certain questions, for instance, if you ask a young child about, he has an object behind him on a couch, and you ask him, what is that object behind a sofa? Because that is a term for a child who is not properly socially orientated to such a vocabulary, that language, they miss that question. But if you ask the same child, what is the object behind the couch that you're sitting on? They can answer very simply. They look behind me, know they're on the couch. Well, this is what Dr. Williams pointed out. And to that point, he demonstrated how, in his study, whites failed. They didn't do so well in this bitch test, but blacks excelled very high. I guess you know that's because they were speaking from the context of their real what? Experience. It's the same way academically. When you strive to put children in an academic setting and you test them and they are not prepared with that content information, they haven't been taught. You know, we learn to read from 0 to 3, and from 3 on we read to learn. Then you can understand what is written and said about items within the curriculum. All right? Now, the issue is for there is inequity in black communities because not every parent values education to the point that they make sure at an early age their children to expose to things simple as reading 10 to 15 minutes a day to them when they're young toddlers or when they're even little babies, or providing them educational-type toys that's going to stimulate cognitive growth and development, right? Well, if you don't know this, how are you going to do it? One of the other questions that were asked is, you're talking about getting arrested for committing crimes. Well, if I don't know what it means to offend or commit a crime and I do it, can you hold me accountable for it? You didn't know that, hey, you know, there was a certain sentence and what the law defined as a crime. Can you hold me accountable? Again, the truth that I'm going to answer these questions, by the way, the truth of the matter is that just because we don't know does not mean we won't have to face some sort of consequence for not knowing. All right? Now let me get to this here. Previously, it was in 2017, we introduced a concept on one of our shows. I say we, I'm talking about me. It was called GTS, the Ghetto Trap Syndrome. During that previous episode, we introduced this concept. And it's defined as a socially economic engineered disease. This social economic disease that has been engineered intentionally is one where children are placed in a situation, an environment where they're born in a broken home, no father or just a mother, and other variables. They live in a poor community. They receive substandard education. They're exposed to acts of violence. and feel as though the only way they can survive is to be ready to kill so they won't be killed. In fact, this mindset is perceived as being necessary for their day-to-day survival. Now, when you couple this with the fact that not every child is directly controlled by this engineered mentality or behavior pattern. Some people, some parents, black folks in the ghetto experience value education to the point that they go outside of the parameters of the ghetto land. And they make sure their children get access to tutoring and extracurricular programming and things of that nature. We do it in sports more often than we do academia, typically. Okay? And I say that not to discourage anyone or to make anyone feel bad or down anyone. And right now, I'm not talking to everybody. I'm talking about black folk right now. Okay? Because the question was asked, do you waste money on hoodlums? Well, there's a meaning of the word hoodlum. And a hoodlum is someone who engages in illegal, erratic, or dangerous type behavior. That's what a hoodlum is. All right? But now the question is, how does our babies become hoodlums? Were they born hoodlums? Or is it because of GTS, ghetto trap syndrome, this disease I just made mention of? We're about to go to the phone line in just a second. I want to share with you some things that I believe are missing within the black community. Now, when I taught high school, I was a special education teacher. So I made a point to take all of my students. I had at least 75 this particular year that was on my caseload. I went back, looked at their CUM folders to see just where their strength was in reading and math. Okay? And I discovered that most of them were stuck on the 7th or 8th grade level. Many, we're talking about 12th graders, below that. So rather than trying to teach them higher level math, I went back to where they had their greatest strength demonstrated, and that's where we taught. And every time they made a notch or an improvement from there, I gave them the grade that they got, and most of them got an A. It was a slow move, but they were making movement. Well, I would tell them, let's put your paper, your grades, your A's, on the board. Let's display them for everybody to see. Oh, no, I don't want it. And when they were received, I gave them all back to the young people. By the end of the class period, I found them on the floor, in the garbage, in chairs, and everywhere else other than where they would take pride to go and share that with others. I say that to say that there is great intellect and intellectual property within the African-American experience. But too often, we do not give ourselves credit for it. The other thing is we don't share it with one another enough. And I know that there's barriers, because if my brother's clowning, he's acting a fool, and he's being reckless, I don't want to be close to you too much. Almost like you wet your pants. I don't want to step too close to you. Go take care of your business. But do I leave you there without help? Right? But there's great knowledge. The other thing is that we have a tendency, collectively speaking, now not everyone, but as a whole, not to document the best practices. If there is somebody on your block, in your street, in your neighborhood, who's doing well, their children are doing well, what's wrong with you going to them? Let me talk to you. Hey, how do you do that there? How can I make that the case for mine? Nothing wrong with that. We all come from the same experience. You understand what I'm saying? Then there's this problem that I humbly submit to you, that many in the Afro-American experience historically have had, especially within the last 30, 40 years. And that is where we are overly relying, on someone else. In effect, you give up the power you have to control your destiny by allowing some other force or some other group or some other party to determine for you what you should do and provide resources to you. You got to play blind, crippled, and crazy to qualify for these things. And in the process, you're not demonstrating your best abilities just so that you can have the convenience of an easy walk. Those are things that we have to make sure that collectively we're not allowing ourselves to fall prey to those things. We got great opportunities. We got great people. And we got folk who know how to do things. If one child in our community knows how to read and write, then doggone it, let that child be a leader to his peers. Peers shouldn't talk about them and make fun of them and say, you're a brainy, hey, you sound white because you speak in correct English. No. Rise the tide lifts all boats, unless you both got a hole in it. And those of us that got holes in our vessels, we need to fix them. Now, don't nobody want to wallow in the mud with you if you just want to be low down and dirty. That dog will not hunt. No, sir. It sure won't. You listen to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic tonight. How should we focus our attention? On the good or the bad youth? I'm going to tell you, you should focus it on all of them. And where there's bad, you work to make it good. Yes, they're going to be bearers. We open up the phone lines. Pastor Ricky Wallace here. 1098 is in the house. And 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois. I hope my friend from St. Louis gives us a call. And I'm going to try. Pastor, go ahead. How you doing, sir?
Hey, now I'm all right. How you doing, Pastor Doctor?
Mighty fine, mighty fine. Go ahead and reply to that guy. And I'm going to see if I can get my good friend who was on with us Thursday, Brother Lord, out of Michigan, see if I can catch up with him. In fact, either one of y'all, go ahead and take turns responding to the monologue. What do you think about that? Should we put our money on the good children and forget about the bad, or what?
I think, like I said, you should put your money on all the children.
Okay.
All do matter.
All right. Okay. All right. Pastor Waller, you want to go ahead there and respond to that, sir?
It's a natural thing to acknowledge people who will let them come. That's not saying one in particular group is leaving the one that's unrighteous behind, because the word does say that he let it rain on the just as well as the unjust.
Hey, Brother Lloyd, hold on one second, Brother Lloyd. Go ahead, Pastor, keep talking.
Yeah, so there's there's two things about life, you know, when you're talking about, you know, who should be able to have assistance, whether it's the person
right.
that's walking up or the person that's walking contrary to that. If you see two people on the street and one of them is walking righteously and the other one is walking unrighteously, should I take one and say, you righteous walker, come over here. You unrighteous walker, you stay over there. What do I say, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. Tell us to rejoice and be glad in it. So you're the person here that don't feel like he's walking on right, but he said, well, I just heard him say this is the day that the Lord has made. So the righteous man didn't make this day. So if the Lord made this day, the guy who's walking up right know that he always haven't walked up right, then the chance of a person who's not walking up right is laying before him. He's lying before him right there. And it's up to him to choose whether he wants to step up to it or not. At least you step out and you offer. You invite, in other words. That's what I would say. You invite the person. Whether you know one way or the other. You know, you don't look at him and judge him and say, hey, you walk righteous, and I can tell you don't. That's not something. That's not my part. My part is to minister to those who are, whether they are good or bad. You minister the word of God to them, period.
Right. Okay, well, Outcast, I know you're there. Let me. We got Brother Lloyd out of Michigan online with us tonight. I appreciate him coming to join us. How you doing, Brother Lloyd? I'm going to come right to you in just a second there, okay? Lloyd, you there? Okay, I'm not sure what happened there. But all right, we move on. Outcast, question coming. I know we heard from 8112. What do you think about that, Outcast, in terms of that conversation there about who we should focus our attention on?
Well, that's self-explanatory in modern society today. They got something for you. If you're a hoodlum, they're going to lock you down. You're going to get locked down. It's your choice when you're incarcerated to pull yourself up and move in another direction, or you can go back out into society. We're going to lock you down again. The money going straight across the board, you know, on the good and the bad. You know, this is, you know, the penal system is good in a lot of ways, and it's harmful in a lot of ways. But the thing is this, putting money on everybody, you know, that's why they got the prison systems now. Now, hold on. That was an easy question.
I want 8112. Did you hear about the bitch test?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Did you hear about bitch test? Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can barely understand what you said, honey.
Can you
hear
me?
Did I hear about what?
The bitch test.
No.
You didn't hear about the bitch test?
No.
Did you hear about that, Pastor Walton?
Did you hear, can y'all hear me at all? What's going on there? Can y'all
hear
me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I can.
Did you hear about the bitch test that I talked about in the monologue? Did you catch that part of the monologue?
Well, it's toning down a little bit, though.
Okay. All right.
That's better.
All right. I'm going to keep on going. Did you hear what I talked about, the bitch test there?
I wasn't on the line.
Okay, I got you. I got you, 8112. Did you hear any of it, 1098?
Wasn't on the line either, but, you know, it's plain.
Okay. All right, so here we go. The bitch test was developed by Dr. Robert L. Williams in 1972. He wanted to demonstrate that children that were not doing well in school back in 1972 is not because black children, wasn't because they didn't have intelligence. It wasn't about them being inferior in their ability to think and process and reason, as it was their social orientation did not prepare them to know certain words that were used in education and the curriculum and things of that nature, particularly examples that are used in text books and so forth and so on. And so what he did was came up with the Black Intelligence Test of Cultural Homogeneity. Not only did he test black children, but he tested some of their white counterparts. Some of them were students from Boston University. And guess what? They failed the test real bad. Yeah. And the black children, they aced it. Now, what I'm speaking to is the fact, let's take a black child who can't read and a black child who reads real well. Is that, what's the difference in the two of them? Somebody, anybody. All right, Pastor Waller. Are you there?
You're talking about, you're saying something about a black child that can't read?
You got a black child who reads on an advanced level, and you got another black child who can't read at all. They're the same age, live in the same neighborhood. Is there a difference in the two of them? And if so, what is it?
I mean, you say, is there a difference? I mean, because you know, you're getting, my question is that are you looking at them according to their intellect? Looking at them, they have. I mean, is it that you heard them speak, or is it that you just assume? I don't know. I look at it like this. I want to share this right here concerning it.
Okay.
Because this is very important. When you utilize the power of words to encourage someone, and they hear.
Right.
Now you utilize the power of words to encourage someone, and they don't hear. Do I give up on the person that don't get it? Or do I focus on much more? Because I know you got it. You see, last time is zeroing in on utilizing the power of the one that got it to encourage the one that haven't got it yet. And I just say you keep this same focus on in one accord.
Okay.
It's like this. We who are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. So I can see the person who don't have the knowledge right now, but they got to give up on it. You know, that's where I would be. Not easy, but I don't be showing it.
Right. So if you were going to, the one that can read, Pastor, needed a scholarship to take it to the next level, right? And 8112, the black boy that could not read, needed money for extra tutorial services. Do you hold back the young man who can read well and is ready to take it to the next level because you only have $2 to spend? Or what do you do, 8112?
I'll give each one of $1.
Wait a minute, Nat. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was shared between the two of them for a reason. So one didn't feel like he was any more important than the other.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you know what the drawback is then, don't you?
No, sir.
The one that can read and is trying to go to the next level, he won't be able to go because $1 ain't going to cut it.
Right.
It ain't going to cut it for the one that can't read either. But at least he knows somebody thought about me to share them $2 because they said if they saw something in me just as valuable as they saw in the one that could read. Because the one that couldn't read might could teach the one that could read something he didn't know.
Wait. Say that again. Say that one more time. You just hit something right there.
I said because it would make the one that couldn't read feel like he was just as valuable or important as the one that could read because the one that couldn't read make and show the one that could read something he didn't.
Well, what about this, Outcast? Suppose we invested both dollars in the young man who knew how to read, was ready to go to the next level, and had him commit to teaching the young brother who couldn't read how to catch up. Can we have a 2-for-1 then?
That is the answer. You know, I remember coming up, it was a lot of situations like that. But the thing is this, you know, the ones that, you know, wanted to go, the ones that were excelling, the ones that were not excelling, you know, they backed away. You know, I mean, if the $2 is going to take the nigga to the next level and he's there and say to go back and get the other one. You know?
Right.
I mean, you know,
right.
But people don't have their opinions and things of that nature, but why would you hold the one back that's already up at the top? If you hold him back, how would he reach back and get the next one? See, this is the way to let go. You know, now, logically speaking, if I had 12 loaves of bread, you know, and I had 4 kids that were hungry, naturally I'll get all 3 of them a little bread.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And that scenario, but the other scenario, no. Let the other one go ahead. This is why coming up, as you know, you probably saw the same situation. The most money was invested in the ones that were moving forward, you know.
Okay.
And I hold there.
But now the argument is, go ahead, anyone. Go ahead. All right, go ahead.
Lloyd just called, and he's still on his way back home, and he said it dropped the call. He didn't want you guys to think he just hung up. So if you
him
to participate, just call him back and let him know.
Okay. I'll tell him I'll do that. I'll do that right now. But now you heard that conversation, 8112. Now, you're saying you don't want nobody to feel bad, but should nobody be able to have forward progress just so that one can be spared, their feelings can be spared? Or do we empower the other so that they can come back and pull their brother?
I mean, that's a hard question because even if we empower the other, one still loses a little bit. And maybe the other one will come back and reach at his bootstring and grab a hold of him, and maybe he won't.
Right.
Hello.
Now, hey, is that Brother Lloyd?
Yes, it is. I apologize about that, but this losing lose connection.
Yeah, no problem. We appreciate you. Hey, man, we've been talking about your statement that you made on Thursday, and you know you brought into the conversation a very important point, and you asked the question: mm-hmm. Can you expect a child who don't have much, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, who struggle to be able to compete with a child that is fortunate and well off? And that's really what we've been talking about. Where should we focus our attention?
You said where should we focus our attention?
Let me finish phrasing the question. Should we hold back the young man who is doing well in the black community? Now, he's a black male too, and we just need a nudge to go a little bit further. Should we hold him back just so we can keep up with the young cats that are not doing so well academically? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I wouldn't even suggest anything like that at all, because I came from the ghetto, and I did not allow my surroundings to dictate.
It's echoing.
With a 4.0 in business. So I would never try to encourage no one to believe that because one child is not privileged to leave him behind. That's the child that needs it the most attention, the most love, the most nourishing. I mean, but people are not, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, keep in mind now in the scenario, you got one who needs, all you got is $2 to spend. One needs the $2, so they, and he reads well and does well. He needs the $2 to go to the next level. And the other one can't read very well at all. And the question was really germane to how do we help both of them? Is it possible? Do you understand what we're saying now?
He might have dropped it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we keep it going. It'll come back in because I understand he's traveling right now. So, 8120, let me go back to you now because you said something. You said something. It sounds like to me that you may have conceded the fact that if we strengthen one of them strong enough, like Pastor Wallace said, once thou art converted, then strengthen the brother, that there's a chance that both of them can be saved with the use of the $2. Do you agree with that?
100%.
Okay, all right.
There's no guarantee once the one get what he needs that he's going to either be able to reach back or he's even going to try to reach back. It happened with the grown-ups all the time.
Say what? Now, you sure said something tonight. You know what the problem is? And I picked this conversation back up, 8112. Because I truly believe that sisters are looking for brothers to work together so that we can figure out how to use limited resources to save all of our families and our children. I believe that's what sisters are really looking for. Now, some of them kind of get in the way of forward progress because they're afraid that they can't trust brothers. I get that. But there's a need for us to come together and bring our best ideas. Outcasts have lived his life, and he has an example. He got some instruction for some young cats. Pastor Waller, he has a testimony. I have a testimony. Brother Lloyd has it. But, you know, if we don't ever bring those together, how the babies going to benefit from it? You know what I mean?
They can't, and they can't even benefit from it if they're not to introduce to like what you guys are doing. So I feel
absolutely.
That's why it's important. There's one reason why I get on here so that I can listen and also learn something from a man's point of view, whether I agree or disagree with certain things. That's just human nature. I'm not going to agree with everything.
Right.
However, anyway, it is important. It's very important.
Okay. So let me pose one of the questions that I posed on Facebook, and maybe y'all can help me with this. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You know, I keep telling people that your color, Pastor Waller, does not define your character.
Mm-mm.
Okay? Your color
That's
don't
true.
Define your character. And a lot of young cats, outcasts, go out their way to dress themselves up and to fix themselves up to look a certain way so that they can be representative of the fad and or what is popular. And at the
That's
end of the day,
right.
man, they lose themselves.
That's
rich
right.
and poor do that.
Say that again?
Rich kids and poor kids may not have a choice, but the rich one do it, they do it to seem like they're somebody cool, some of them.
That's true.
And the other
You're
ones
right.
that you find them being the ones go kill their whole family because the, inside the home nobody know what's going on.
So let me ask this question then. Pastor Waller, this is your question. If a youth grows up and they have not been properly orientated or socialized, right, and they get in trouble, do you hold a parent responsible or do you blame the white man for that? I'm putting it out there. Anybody help me with that? Who do you blame?
I'm not going to blame my parents. I mean, when you talk about trouble, I'm not going to blame them because, number one, if they don't know, my parents don't know anything about the trap, and I get caught up in it, I can't blame my parents.
Okay.
I'm talking about me. I'm unable to blame my parents because I know personally my mother never done any drugs, but I did.
I see.
So, you know, she didn't get caught in the trap. I did. So I can't go back and blame her. Mama, you let me get caught in this trap right here. No, I can't do that. And I'm definitely not getting ready to blame because I don't like doing the blame game. But I do know one thing.
What's
Somebody
that?
Done it on purpose. And I know my mama didn't put that stuff out there for me to fall in the trap. So who did? You know, somebody
well,
did.
Now, so wait a minute now. Hold on. Can I push back on you a little bit? Can I lean on you a little
yes,
bit back?
Yes,
All
yes,
right.
Sir.
Now, okay, Outcast, help me out. If I walked out
okay.
right now in front of a busy street,
ooh,
and
I know
you're
going
from,
there. Where you going there?
Now, I know we would argue that somebody should have been responsible for me, right? But if I do that,
exactly.
is that just because I didn't know any better, is that going to stop the hurt, the pain, potentially the death?
No.
Okay. So, Pastor, would you agree with that? That there's going to be a consequence for that action, right, Pastor?
Yeah, I would say.
Okay.
You know, a mistake versus an intentional thing. You know, I walked out in front of them, but that was a mistake I made. The
okay.
trap is different. You know, I'm using for an example when I say trap, I'm talking about I ended up doing what I did, and I've said it many times. I mean, and doing heroin, doing the drugs like I was doing, it was a destroyer. So it would be unfair to blame my parents, you understand what I'm saying, when they had no knowledge of it. So there's no kind of no dealing with it, didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
And then it just so happened, someone who believed that it was going to capture me,
mm-hmm.
out there, that's an intentional thing. That's somebody, if I wanted to blame somebody, and I didn't even blame them. But that don't mean I didn't know who done it. You know, I'm just not going to blame them. You see what I'm saying? Who done it? So I know I'm not going to blame my parents. That's what I'm trying to get to. I refuse to blame my parents for something they don't deserve to be charged for. They don't deserve to be charged for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, hold on. I can think of a time, Pastor, when I was driving around with both my children in the vehicle with me. I knew, and I had money in my pocket, man, and I passed up at least 3 gas stations, and I knew I needed gas. Well, you know we ran out of gas, don't you? And there we were walking up down the street. I had a gas can, but my son, he was real quiet, but my daughter, she got a mouth on her, you understand? Daddy, didn't you know better?
Yeah.
Daddy,
right.
You knew we needed some gas. Look, Pastor. Then you said, do you have any money? I knew that was a mama's daughter. You understand what I was saying?
Yeah.
But my point is that I had to eat that, Pastor. I had to swallow that. Now I wasn't trying to make us have to walk, but my actions.
You had to
my...
be, because if you saw the gas almost eat, and you've had three gas stations, and one is two.
Well, it was a mistake. 8112. It was a mistake. I wasn't trying to.
Yeah, really.
I wasn't trying to. You understand?
I'd have been like your daughter. Didn't you know you was on?
Well, here's the point, guys. Things happen to children, and they cannot be held accountable for it. Okay? The Bible says, Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, train up a child.
Yeah.
And watch what it says, y'all. It says, in the way. It didn't say in some way or figure out a way. It said in the way they should go. And what am I saying? I'm saying that clearly there is a prescribed way we should orientate and prepare our children. Now, if we don't know that, Pastor, where can we go to get that information? You ought to be able to go to the house of God, if nowhere else.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I would say.
Now, what we're getting at is in the black community, we have more churches, other things. But somehow, outcasts, it don't seem like we're getting enough of this type of instruction, man. Well, how do we deal with that? Somebody help me out. 8112, you help me. How do we deal with the fact that we got more? How many churches you got in around you, 8112?
If you walked
outside right now, how many churches do you think you can count if you walk two blocks, three blocks?
I can count one right here on the corner from my house.
Okay.
Because this
keep walking.
Is like a... like a rural area, but I can also say they have a very, even though I haven't been there, they have a very big congregation.
Okay.
I can say that. And,
all right.
Yeah, maybe you should be able to go. But the days we live in, like I said, sometimes, and God forgive me if I'm saying this incorrectly, you got the devil studying at the pulpit because people forget. Lucifer was a beautiful angel.
Help us, Holy Spirit. Okay.
That's what they forget.
Okay.
Lucifer was in God's kingdom, but he got so powerful,
okay,
like a lot of human beings do, that he figured, and he made it, and God cast him into hell. Now, you want to have your own, you got it.
Right. So, I'm beating up on us, brother preacher, brother pastor. I'm beating up on us. Help me out now. I'm putting you on the cross intentionally, Pastor. So, I'm going to give you a chance to come down off the cross, okay? What is it that we can do better, Pastor? Let me phrase it like that. Such that in this regard, if we know we got two sons and there's a binary choice between saving one and losing the other, what can we do to make sure we save both of them, Pastor? I'm talking about preachers now.
Yeah. That's a very good question. And the answer is instilled in the question, because if you utilize, if you don't mind me utilizing an example, it's like you made it there before. You know, it's one thing. That means you have the knowledge. But remember, I'm on my way. So that means that, okay, now I'm just stepping up to it, even though you got it down packed. So don't point your finger at you because you have it down packed yet. And it's just like the scripture, it was two men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other one was a publican. You know what I mean? And the one that had that relationship with God, he stepped out, you know, and even though they went in there together, he stepped out by himself and went to praising God for all the things that he has done and what he's doing. He's tithing and he's fasting, he's doing all these things. And he messed around when he got going, he messed around and pointed at the man. He said, I'm not like this Pharisee. He's like, what you pointed this man for? You still up there giving praise to God of what you doing, which was cool, but until you pointed your finger at that man, that's when you blew it. You see?
Right.
And then the man
who
stood afar you know, that couldn't say nothing because he didn't know God. He hadn't fasted. He hadn't been tithing or anything like that. So all he said was, you know, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, and don't you know that God responded to him more so than the one who's talking about fasting and praying, which means that the righteous man thought he was something. He really wasn't nothing. He blew it because he pointed his finger to man who actually came into the temple with him. He just only had a relationship with God, he thought, more so than the person. But you never know, man, and that's why you have to be mindful of how to be humble and don't put the person down that don't know how to do it right now. You never know. That person can become a messenger, you understand what I'm saying, from being unaware at one time. And that's just the way I look at it. So I got to go with,
I like
with the knowledge. Yeah, getting both of them, man. I can't deal with the righteous man and just think that he got it and the other one don't deserve it. You know,
like
that. That's a great point, Pastor. That's
so
a great point.
I like
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead, 812.
No, I told Pastor Wallace I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
That's how I feel.
The thing is this. There are some of us who need our tails whooped. Can I just say it? Can I talk straight? I'm talking about Negro, black, and color folk now. Some of us need our behind whooped. We just need our tail whooped real good. And our parents missed out on the right whooping, okay? And we done grown up and got big enough to smell our own musk. And we think, you know, we don't even want to be like a Boosie Cobbler, make my funk the beat funk. I want to call it something else, you understand? We got plumb out of control. And as a result, we have caused a problem in the whole community. You know, they talk about it take a village to raise a child. Well, in the African concept of a village, everybody was on one accord and wasn't nobody fucked up, right? What we did for what standard we set for one child, we had to set for all of them. And if for some reason one of our children had a disability where they couldn't keep up with the rest of them, we didn't leave them and throw them to the trash, to the wolves. No. What we did is we provided extra support for them until such time as they can catch up with one another. But we never left them behind. Now, in the hood, I'm looking at our people outcast, right? And you know I love them, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Outcast, you there?
Oh, yeah. Hello?
And I love them like peanut butter, love jelly. But some of the stuff we do, man, it's just off the chain. It just got to stop. And our lives can be improved.
You're right about that, but, you know, I mean, it will not stop. It will not cease, you know, for quite some time to come. And it all starts in the home now concerning those drugs and things of that nature. You know, I guess, you know, all the drugs in the United States of America, you know, they want to blame the white man. Yeah, the white man probably, well, you know, everybody have a hand in that now. Even when they come into the black neighborhoods, who's sitting in the neighborhood? It's not the white
folk.
Man, basically. Yeah, it's black folk. Now, a lot of people,
you know,
the first thing they want to do is, well, the white folk got the planes and this and that and so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, you know, they got holes across that border, too, don't they? So who getting in here? Are the Hispanic, are the Mexicans, whatever, but, you know, the thing is this right here, nobody made nobody do drugs. Nobody. You know, even me. No, it was my choice, you know, to smoke marijuana, you know, to mess with that acid, that wonder pain, the things in that nature. That was my choice. I don't fault no one but myself. I'm going to go back and rub and wallow on this. Now I don't even fault my mother. It was me.
Okay.
Don't even fault the white man. But, you know, I'll hold on that. I hope.
Yeah, we, you know, that's powerful. We're looking for somebody to lay the blame on too often, and the truth of the matter is, you've got to suck it up. You know, but 8112, you know what? I wasn't there, but in my sanctified imagination, 8112, I can see what happened with Adam when God came to him on the face of the deep, and he called Adam's name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all he wanted Adam to do was to break straight with him. You got caught up with this little gal I gave you, and both of y'all went somewhere y'all ain't had no business. Just go and break straight with me. But you know the first thing Adam did? He told a lie.
Yeah.
He hollered, well, you know, Lord, that woman you gave me. He put the blame on Eve. Now, Eve was out of order. But guess who Eve's covering was, who her head was? Adam.
That's right.
If he'd have simply told her, look here now, you know good and well, I ain't, where you get that from? I ain't get that to you. Now, what's wrong? Is that wrong with 8112?
It was wrong for him to lie. Yes, it was. Because Eve might not have had a clue what God told Adam.
She did.
And I don't want to go too far with that. She might not have had a clue what God told Adam, but Adam knew what he was told.
That's right. That's right.
He know what he was told. And he know who told it to him. And he knew what he did was wrong. And then he had to pay for that.
There you go. If I could add to what you're saying, he simply made matters worse by trying to dress it up and fix it up with a lie. And that's what happens in the Afro-American experience too often. Rather than being honest, outcast, about where we are and the things we need to change, we try to justify and fix it up by placing blame somewhere else or trying to make it something it's not. You know?
Exactly.
The bottom line is, if I come outside walking backwards with my pants on my head, why would you tell me anything other than, son, what's wrong with you?
That's right.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we have to take out of the argument. Now, it's interesting, Pastor Wallace. You know, I just finished a political run again. While I'm not a politician, I was in a political process. And Pastor Wallace, it was interesting to me to see how many people were looking for some kind of party that they can identify with, political party they can identify with, right? And they were looking for answers from that party. Now, what was interesting is I had a conversation with a young lady, and we were talking about the plight of black families, right? And she said, well, yeah, we need some help. And women need help from their men. I said, that's true. I said, so what party do you think is going to provide that help or policies that will lead to that? Well, you know, I'm under the big tent. We look out for the LGBTQs, the Hispanics. We look for women because women need their power. And we look for black people. And I asked her this simple question, Pastor Waller. In that line of all the people you listed, where is the black man? Can y'all answer that for me?
You said the one she said that they needed help from?
Where's the black man in that line of all the people that the Democratic Party focused their attention on? Is he in front of the line or in the back of the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, he went out in the back of the line, but the thing is, it is at the end of the day, I'll just leave that there alone. I'm going to say something else, but that's going to go into something else, and there's be an argument. So I'll hold. You know,
no,
I don't want to get off track,
not,
which is in track, though. I mean, it's in track.
Okay,
you know, I
okay.
mean, it's dealing with men and women, you know, which we've had the discussion and things in that nature, you know. What was that statement you made? A woman go to a apple tree looking for a peach? Okay.
Well,
I hope I got that right, but that's the problem. See,
no,
that's the problem. These women talking about these black men. That's the problem.
Right. Well,
I hope.
I didn't want her to think that I was beating her up because she was a woman, right? But I did want her to know.
I'm sorry, really.
Huh?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I wanted her to understand that that was another side to the story that I wasn't sure she considered, right? Because I'm going to tell you what now, and I understand that everybody got their causes. They got their fight that they're fighting for. But if we're going to save our children, we got to put brothers back in their lives. We got to put the family has to be revitalized.
True.
You understand? That's why we're drowning right now.
True.
And I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat. If you're not trying to do that, you ain't helping me none.
That's right.
You ain't helping me none.
And if I may, I'll say this. A lot of times it takes a strong black woman to make a black man strong, you know.
Well, that is so true.
They're not going anywhere, you know.
Amen.
They're not going anywhere, you know. And see, that's part of the problem, too.
Right.
I don't know if 3112 agree with that or not.
Yeah,
what about that 8112? What about that?
I agree wholeheartedly with that because sometimes, as I've said so many times, it starts, even you can have two parents in the house, but who does everyone look to outside of that? They look to their mother for the strength. They look to their father for their backbone as a young man, probably. If he's not there, and so many of them aren't there, and so many are, depending on the situation. So a lot of women look for the man to go to work most of the time. And mom, a lot of them, they work, but they back at home with the kids for dad sometimes. She got to discipline them. So in her process of disciplining them, it goes back. They challenge the dads. A lot of fathers don't have to whoop their sons because their voice is powerful and strong enough that it outweighs mom's voice sometimes.
Okay.
Mom gonna say that boot.
You mom gonna do what?
Mom gonna set that tail up.
Now that's an interesting thing because now let me show you something. Well, let me say this first before I go there. You're absolutely right. In fact, I wrote in my book, "Let Us Make a Goddamn Man." I wrote that in 2006. I wrote that the woman is the curator of the family. In other words, she's the chief administrator. And she has the ability to pay close attention to details, not only of her husband, but of children. Proverbs 31 and 10 pans that out, right? So I think sisters need to understand that you play probably one of the most powerful roles in humanity just by being a wife and a mother. Because without you, you know what I mean? Some folk ain't going to make it. But I was going to say that this voice of female authority, 8112, it goes only so far.
That's true.
And what happens is after particularly the male child gets to a point in their social development
I said once they start becoming a young man, yes, you're right.
Well,
they
that's a question about when do they become. Let me finish this point. Then I'll give. There is a point in social development where young males begin to identify their concepts of manhood or what kind of man I am, and usually they're looking at other masculine figures to help shape that. The mama have a tendency to want to be firm, but she cannot represent what they're looking for. Now, two things have happened. Either that male is likely to overcompensate and think just like and try to be like mama or grandmama or whatever feminine voice is there, or they're going to totally reject it and look for some figure, masculine figure, that they can compensate for. Okay? And at the end of the day, that's the role of a father. To be the not only voice but the example of what a man should be. Somebody said that the other day, that if a little girl never has a father, how does she know what to look for in a man?
I said that.
That was you, wasn't it? That was you, wasn't it?
I said that.
Okay.
But I also in turn said that I guess most of my other brothers are older than I, so I feel like this also at the same time. Mom raised some pretty good guys. She really did.
Okay.
However, they probably wish there was a many days, okay, dad ain't here now. Mom done moved on. you know, when they were younger and things. You never know how one feel unless they express it to you. And most young men, me finding out being a mom myself of five sons, is not, we want to be strong figures. We want to be, that we have to be that voice in some cases. However, you had a mother and a father. Someone, it took two people, a male and a female. And you need that fatherly figure as a woman in your life. But if you don't have it, you also got to work with what you got and be grateful for it.
That's true. That's the truth. That's the truth. You know, Mary J. Blige had a song, and that was the first song my daughter and I listened to together. One of the first ones, anyway. You got to work what you got. It was a pretty good song. She was encouraging the young ladies, you know, work what you got. But, so Pastor Waller, Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You there?
Yes, sir.
I want to go back to this little bad booger, this little hooper. You with me, Pastor?
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right. The hoodlum, you're trying to save the hoodlum, right? Trying to save the little bad booger. And he cuts you out. In fact, he raised his fist to you. What do you do? What you do with
that? I think I'm going to go from my experience. You know, I hear that from in the streets every now and then. You know, coming up, I may not. You know, be ready to say anything by way of words, but just by showing up speaks sometimes without even talking. And I've heard one of the guys say, man, real nobody won't hear nothing that today. Yeah, I heard him say it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I understand where he's coming from. But if you say something like that and you don't know whether somebody was getting ready to say something or not, that means you've already put it out there. Just as if you're getting ready to start talking about how good the Lord is and anything, we don't want to hear today. We're that same person right now. You know what I mean? I didn't give up on him.
Right.
And that same person today, he comes around there and knocks on the door to the ministry house and just making a good example, and a long story short. And that was something like over a year ago, they had a vigilance in the alley in the streets of West Nashville from one guy who had gotten killed. I think the little guy got not getting off the beat, something like that. But anyway, they were celebrating like they do. You know what I mean? They out in the streets, and so once they were celebrating, I guess they were pouring drinks out and shooting the guns in there and everything. After I had went around and shared the word of God with them, which is what they asked me to do. But the same guy that I'm talking about, that once I got ready to leave, the gunfire started to just started just being an uproar. And so he said to me, he said, apparently you must just say enough to them around there. And I said to him, I said to him these words. I said, because I know what they was doing, they was only celebrating. They didn't even know that I was even gone off the premises or not. However, I was still around there and I heard the gunfire. But guess what I didn't see at all, the gunfire? I didn't see nobody talking about somebody just got shot. Called ambulance. I didn't hear none of that. You know why? Because they heard what I said.
All right.
Because they heard what I said. You see, they were only celebrating the way they was accustomed to celebrating, but they asked me to come around there and share some scripture with them, decided to do so. And when I left, I took care of my business, and it was time for me to go. What I'm saying is this. The same guy now today who said that, he is a guy that comes around to the ministry house and knocks on the door. You know, encouraging me and say, hey, man, I want to just come out here. I'm going to come in one day with here $2 or $3. I've heard him do that. So I didn't give up on it. But yeah, so it's all about me just letting you know. You know, you can't, you never know what's in your heart, man. They may say one thing out of their mouth, but what's in their heart is what counts.
That's true.
And how do you
That's true.
How do you reach them? If you give up on them, how do you reach them?
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
112.
What were you
going to
say?
I said that was nice. And even though Pastor, they asked him to come. And he the thing is, he wasn't afraid to go because he'd been where they've been at.
Right.
And
Right.
They knew
this.
They knew this. Because had he not walked in their shoes before himself, they wouldn't have listened to two words he had to say.
That's right. Yes. You're right. You said something right there, one too.
Now, okay. So, can everybody go and save the hoodlums then? Is everybody prepared or apt enough to do that? Or does it just take certain people?
It takes certain people. And they have to come from God. And they have, we all come from God, but they have to be anointed to be able to do that and not be harmed. Because you have to, when God sends you out there, you shielded.
You are anointed
and you are supposed to be anointed. If God sent you, you are anointed.
All right, let me lean on you then, 8112. LaShawn is drunk, and he got that gun y'all up in him, okay?
Yeah.
And you coming trying to do what you're doing. He ain't trying to hear you right now. In fact, you're making him mad because you're messing up his high.
Okay.
Do you go home and come back tomorrow or what?
Yeah, because you also supposed to have common sense. you also gave common sense now.
Can I say something?
You sure?
What I realized is that the greater problem. So, Pastor, I hear people say, they ask, "Well, what's your problem?" Well, I'm addicted to alcohol. I'm addicted to gambling. I'm addicted to drugs, right? And I would argue that that's not your problem. Your problem is, you got a hole in your soul, and you're medicating your pain with the alcohol, with the gambling, or with the drug. See, that's your problem. And in the black community, especially in the ghetto, where you have limited resources and people forced to live with one another without guidance and without any vision, the Bible said without a vision, the people will perish, right? Everybody's around there angry and hungry and on edge. And that's what leads folks to feel like they got to always, be ready to fight and to be ready to kill somebody. It used to be a time, Outcast, you can go toe-to-toe with a cat, man. If you got your tail whooped, you came back and y'all laughed 2 weeks later about it. No,
right.
Not today. These cats are so scared now, they got to go grab them some.
That's because they're cowards. They're cowards.
Well, that's my point. It's a part of the socialization. And what we can do is to hold accountable the so-called leadership in the black community to cut off the opportunities for these things to fester. Pastor Wallace, if you got a trap house, clearly something's wrong, right? You know where the trap house is. The police know. The councilmen know where the trap house is. Doggone it, the state representative know where the trap house is. But ain't nobody shutting it down. Help me understand that like I'm 3 years old.
It's about money. If they shut it down, they can't lock their tails up and they can't make no more dollars and cents.
Oh, I see. So everybody getting paid, huh, 8112?
What the hell they going to lock them up for when they can whoop their head, make them pay them some dues?
What? Wow.
You didn't hear that from me, Dorian.
No, yes, I did. Now, listen,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you what. If we think that it's just one person or one group of people that's our problem, the truth of the matter is your enemy have a tendency to be standing the closest to you, though. And oftentimes, they look just like you, if the truth be told.
Yeah, they do. You think people
now,
say, and in your own family, I love you. And the next corner in their heart and will be stabbing you with your eyes open to you slowly but surely, and you don't have a clue.
Help us, Holy Ghost. Wow. Now, so if we see these type of things exist, look, if you got children that go to the same school every year and ain't none of them improving their reading level, do we need to close that school down?
You need to check the principal, their teachers, and check yourself, but sometimes you don't have a choice but to send your kids to these type of schools because the law says also they
right.
have to go to school. So when you don't
right.
have
That's
that
it.
Choice and you got to be the only parent in the house and you got to be at work and you hoping they do what they're supposed to do as far as they learning,
mm-hmm.
even if you have to leave them at home when they're a certain age by themselves, hoping they're
well,
getting their books. But in real life says,
can I give you some of the options you have?
I mean,
you
I
can actually. Well, I'm not saying you. I'm speaking in general now.
Okay, sir.
A parent that's faced with that scenario can actually homeschool a child. There's a big fight about pulling them out of traditional public school and putting them in another type of public, either magnet or a charter school, right?
Yeah.
That guarantees that they're going to teach your children. Well, at the end of the day, your parent has to stand up and take advantage of the opportunity in the interest of their children because they're there. Now, as Pastor Wallace said, if you don't know about it, you know, then how are you going to know to do that? Somebody needs to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
All these big mouths around town want to get in front of the camera every time the news come around. They ain't talking about nothing, doing a whole lot of talking. They ain't talking about nothing. So they ain't telling nobody about these things.
Yeah, but I do have a question, though. I know that in order to homeschool your child, you have to have at least a high school diploma, well, a college degree.
Correct.
But the thing is, where the crack falls down through is when both parents are uneducated, you know, don't have a high school diploma or a GED. And, you know, that's a problem, too. So, therefore, some parents, you know, don't have no choice but to let their children, you know, stay in those type, you know. But there's a way around it. We talk about the uncles and aunts and all that.
Hold on 1 second. Here's what they do, Outcast. Their parents, who you're right, they acknowledge that they have literacy challenges, right? But they hire someone who's able to teach their child at home.
Right.
And they control how many hours they're there and so forth. And then they take their child to other places, other groups of people who are homeschooling so they get the socialization.
Right.
And, you know, so what they do is they figure out how to do it, but the parent still is in control of how the child is being taught and what. You follow what I'm
right.
saying?
Right, and I do agree with you. You know, they're always on television talking about the charter schools and things of that nature. But the thing is, it is, you know, they don't bring up the issue to where is that, you know, parents can homeschool their children, you know, which
that
you have a
right.
lot of children now that are being homeschooled. I mean, there are a lot
Absolutely.
Of them.
A lot of them. And doing
I mean,
well.
A lot of them. Yeah.
And Outcast, what the research is saying is that when it comes to these standardized tests, those people that put that individualized focus on their children, they tend to do better on
right.
ACT and the SAT.
You know? I agree 100%. You know, but see, that's I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, finish your thought. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
No, that's just a PowerPoint. 8112, you were trying to say something. I apologize.
It's okay. I said I was a homeschool parent at one point with my elder child. I didn't even have a high school degree, but I was not a dummy. I love to read, and I understand quickly about certain things. Anyway, but kids need social. They need social. They need to get out and learn how to function in the real world
true.
With other people. You can't just hide them at home either because that's not the real world. When they
that
grow
is so
up, they
true.
Out here and get it for themselves.
You're absolutely right. And that's why the most successful homeschool children, they're part of organized groups. It's almost like they have a a virtual school, but these are instructors that actually come to the house, and they can control the environment better. And I'm not knocking, you know, I was a traditional public school teacher myself. There are some teachers out there doing a wonderful job, and they would do better if their hands were not tied by stupid policies coming from the school board or whatever. That's a whole other conversation, though. And many of them know how to teach the children, but again, there are barriers. But at the end of the day, as a parent, if don't nobody else take a stand for your child, you ought to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that kind of goes back to this thing about good and bad. I would say erase that. All of them are good. You know? And in response to that last question, the answer that I have is people perish due to a lack of knowledge. Proverbs 29:18 tells. Now, if we teach all of our children what's expected and how to properly prepare themselves, not only in their community but the world abroad, then we'll find ourselves in a situation where they won't have to be under the gun so much and losing out, right? If there's no opportunities, create them. You know what I mean? But I don't expect Mama to do that by herself. She needs some help. So brothers need to get on their grind and do like Malachi 4:6 said, you know, until I turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, hearts of children back to the fathers, if that don't happen, I'm going to smite the earth with a curse. And if we ain't in the curse right now, I don't know what's going on. I mean, my goodness. But, man, look at the time. 8 minutes, 8 minutes, 8 minutes. Pastor Wallace.
You there, man? Yes, sir.
Who we gonna get to change this stuff for us? Who gonna do it, man? You're doing a lot of talking. Who gonna do this?
Who are we going to get to change this thing?
Yeah,
I mean those who have a willing heart, man. You say it's not gonna be. You know the word says it's not gonna be but a few anyway.
I see.
And what that means is that, you know, he said the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I mean, I can understand him that I got from that. So I don't expect everybody to come out. And I think 81:12 spoke is very clear. You know, not everybody's going to do that. And so you have to have a compassion and a heart for that in order for it to be carried out, if you will. And so if you have an assignment on a job and you carrying it out, I mean, that's one thing. But if you have an assignment on the job and you're not carrying it out, you know, you just might not be there very long. So
that's right.
Unless they just do that thing where I put up with you and I keep paying you the money. Well, in this case, you know, the job and the assignment that I have, I don't even get money for doing it. So that's the difference.
Wow.
And you know, many people are going to work a job every morning, whatever time it is they go, and give them all that great effort and do all the things that's required and then don't have no paycheck coming. I mean, I don't think a lot of people are going to do that. However, inside the will of God doing ministry, it's totally different, man. And I had a thought about that just not long ago, and I was amazed how I've been able to stand through the process of it. You know, it's not easy, though, I must say.
Right.
Not at all. You know, not at
Mama
all.
Mama D. Mama D.
Yes.
What would it take for you to expand the things you do that make you known as Mama D? What resources would you need to do that?
I'm like, yeah, hell, I need a Fruit Dallas. I'm playing. I'll try to make a funny. I'm grateful to the good Lord, and I really hope that the ones that have crossed my path heard something that I had to say and keep showing me the love and attention they show me when they come around and respect.
Right.
I figure if they do that, then I'm good.
Okay. How would you use those dollars? So if you had a few more dollars, have you thought about exactly how you would spend them?
You know what? When I did, I was so busy looking for the things that I needed, not wanted, needed. Within myself that. It's different. I found I had less problem utilizing a few dollars opposed to more than a few dollars. I found people treated me different. They acted, treated me like, Where you get this from? Who you rob? What you doing?
Okay.
I'm finna go home. I ain't got to spend no money with y'all. And then what I do then sometimes
okay.
I had to put myself out there because the things we need is a lot of times we need, not want per se, even as young people. And if you're used to not having some things like that, you can get caught up in a many things, in a many different type of worlds, and don't even have a clue.
Right. Well,
so
that's
a
good point.
So to your question, I can't answer that. I don't know. All
I
know is that if I can share my love, that don't take money.
Right. I was going to say that, you know, thinking about how to save the good and the bad and using the young man who knows how to read and who has the strength there, provide him opportunities of leadership to come back and work with his peers, right?
Yeah.
And so I said that to say that if, Pastor, we had a fixed facility to where you can put everybody on all levels there and everybody get what they need on the individual level, at the end of the day, once you grow up and come out, you'll be where you need to be, you know. And perhaps that's the best way to use resources, not try to pick and choose who wins and who loses.
Okay.
Based on your assumptions of their intelligence, levels of intelligence. Because I would argue that the hoodlum is just as intelligent as a scholar.
Hmm.
And a scholar has the potential to be just as much as a hoodlum as the hoodlum does under the right circumstance.
Wow.
No,
that's true.
I say wow because you are right. Wow.
Well, I mean, it's a matter of the circumstance.
That's right.
You know, a matter of your circumstances. So, man, look at the time. We got 2 minutes, about 2.5 minutes. Give me a final word, 8112.
I want everybody to continue to be blessed as you are and have a very happy, healthy, grateful Thanksgiving.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And please tell Brother Lloyd we're sorry we missed him, but we'll catch him back again. We have Mona as our special guest sometime.
That's all right. I sure will when I talk to him.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. Pastor Wallace, give us a final thought here as we get out of here, man, and we'll give the website out. We want you to make your contribution to our traveling seminar and lecture series. We need your help. I need your help. Okay? So let me make that very clear. But, Pastor, go ahead and give us a final thought there right quick, sir.
Well, I thank God for everyone who had a chance to share and also those that was listening. You know, the Word of God is always something that I like standing on. And in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And what
I got out
of that is that if I don't know him, I can't trust him. But if I can get to know him, I can start trusting him. So this is a good day to start trusting in him and stop trusting in yourself. And watch how things you put into perspective that you'll be glad of. Glory to God.
Right. Okay. All right. The website is www.bfcinstitute.com. Please go there, learn about it, make a contribution there on a secure website there. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ruben Dark. We'll be back next week. We won't be here because of Thanksgiving. But next Tuesday, Lord willing, we'll be back at 7 o'clock for another episode of Talk Straight. Until then, we'll see you on behalf of Pastor Ricky Waller and Mama D and Talk Straight. We'll see you then. Thank you.